Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Moncrief on News Talk.
There used to be a lot of talk of the so-called pink pound, the idea that LGBTQ plus people have more disposable income. But the opposite now seems to be emerging. According to a just published report, LGBTQ plus poverty is so widespread in the country. Sarah Singleton is head of public education at the Task think tank. Good afternoon, Sarah.
Good afternoon, Sean.
Tell us a bit about the survey, how you conducted it.
Right, so this is a survey we did in partnership with Outhouse, the LGBT centre, and we got 373 responses. So we're asking about all about people's kind of income and experience of poverty as well. So we had some questions there about kind of other markers of poverty, things like if people had savings, things that are also asked at a national level, like about deprivation, like could you afford new clothes, to eat meat regularly, replace worn out items in the home. So we got a kind of a broad picture of poverty there. And our survey, it didn't just have low income people, it had people kind of across the spectrum, but it had a very kind of interesting picture of poverty in the LGBT community. And like you said, there is this idea that there's just kind of broad affluence in the community, but there hasn't actually really been a big survey before of that kind of takes them as a group to look at people like that.
Yeah, but you were doing this across the country.
Yes.
Whereas perhaps that previous view was kind of your urban gay man kind of thing.
Yeah.
He was absolutely loaded, which is perhaps a bit of a stereotype there. Were there specific aspects to this poverty that maybe differ from the rest of the community, or were you finding the same things?
So some things we found that were interesting. So we were looking at trying to get the scale of poverty, but also maybe trying to suggest some causes when poverty is there, why it's there, and the impact of it. So one thing we found, for example, is that marker of deprivation. So it's like if you couldn't afford 2 items. Mm. This is something we take at national level as well. The survey we did, I think it was 46% of people said, you know, in the last year, I regularly can't afford these things. That's kind of very important because it kind of shows you people's experience of being able to live with dignity and have like a social life and a good life as well.
Sorry to interrupt, Sarah. Yeah. Was that specific to certain age groups, or was that across
that was across
all of,
the whole
yeah.
survey?
Yeah.
And just to give you an idea, like that's taken at a national level through the survey of income and living conditions with the CSO, and that's about 15% when you ask the general population.
Yeah.
Of
so
a
it's
gender
massively
survey.
Higher.
Yeah, it's massively larger.
Yeah.
So that sounds quite shocking, but there's some things in the survey that might point to maybe why that is.
Yeah. Okay. And what would be those things?
One thing that was very high is, I suppose, there's things even that would affect people in the long term, like people's experience of education was very poor. So the survey did look at people, you know, from the LGBTQ community who are different ages. But it said that I think almost 60% of people would have experienced bullying in school. Mm. And about 7% said it affected their decision to leave education early. So that has a really long term effect on employment and earnings. Our sample had a very high percentage of people in rented accommodation compared to the national average as well.
Yeah.
So some of the kind of presumptions about poverty or how people manage are thinking about people in dual income homes who are owning their own property. Our sample looked kind of different from the national picture in that way. Another thing, I suppose, is the experience of like workplace discrimination. I think almost 55% of people said that they hid their identity regularly in work.
That's quite surprising.
That is kind of surprising. You'd think it would be much lower these days.
Yeah. but we don't have a reason for that. Or maybe it's a perception on their part.
It is perception, yeah. Yes. Reported, yeah, self-reported.
Yeah, on their part that it wouldn't be advantageous to them.
Yeah.
You did mention that more LGBTQ people are in rented accommodation. Is there a trend there that perhaps higher than the national average that they might have to leave home because there might be a dispute at home about their sexual identity, etc.?
Yeah, this has been suggested in other research as well, like that, you know, there's a system where at the moment a lot of people are reliant on their families, particularly their parents, to help them out in the situation, whether that be with rent, a deposit for a house, you know, kind of practical support like childcare, meals, or kind of advice and social networks. And the LGBTQ people, it's not across the board, but are more likely to have a weak relationship with family, which massively affects you.
Yeah, indeed. Before out this survey, you must have had suspicions that this was the case, or you wouldn't have gone looking for
it. Yeah, exactly. Well, one thing is, I suppose, we did do it in partnership with Outhouse, and they're kind of a support centre, community centre for the LGBTQ community. And they're seeing increasingly in their work, as part of their work, that they're advising people or supporting people with financial stress and strain, which I suppose in the cost of living crisis is maybe more common to the population in general, but it's become more and more part of their work. So that's kind of, I think, one of the reasons they commissioned this bit of research.
Yeah. Did you ask them about income level? Does that differ?
Our survey is a sample of 373 people who, you know, they self-selected to answer the survey.
Yes.
So it's different to the census. But we had a big range of incomes. One in three people that answered our survey had earned less than $1,500 a month net income. So that is quite low.
Mm.
We did also have a lot, like over 20% who earned €3,000 a month or more. So it's not like everyone was low income. There is a big range. So it's not just one story of poverty. It's quite a different experience.
Well, and that's probably, would that be largely kind of correspond to the country as a whole, really. But I suppose specifically on healthcare, particularly healthcare for trans people, did that come up as a factor?
Yes, like for people in the survey who identified as trans, that was a massive factor, that cost of healthcare and accessing healthcare. Another thing that's kind of quite shocking in the survey as well is the amount of people who said they felt like stressed or anxious in the last month, over 55%, which would be very high as well.
Mm.
We don't have a direct national comparator of that.
Yeah.
But that also does kind of have consequences in terms of like mental health supports people need and ability to kind of work regularly.
Yeah.
So that was very high in the sample.
Yeah. And of course, that can have a knock-on effect on everything else. And so the report in general then, are we looking at a situation that perhaps people in the LGBTQ plus community need more specific supports aimed at them than just go to the, you know, go where everybody else goes?
That is one of the kind of key recommendations, is that they should kind of be considered for specialist kind of poverty supports, income supports as well, social kind of welfare supports, or that it's not blind to those issues.
Mm.
Also, one of the main things is just that it's kind of looked for in data. But the one good thing or interesting thing that's happening separately is the next census will have a question on gender identity and sexual orientation. So we'll have an actual national picture of what those issues are.
That will be interesting to find out. That study is called Pride and Poverty, a study of the economic challenges in the LGBTQ plus community. And you've just been listening to Sarah Singleton there, Head of Public Education at Task. Sarah, thanks a million for coming into us today.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.